All right, we are recording.
We're good to go. Zach, thank you so much for being the first guest on Coach Comma. Thank you for your yes.
Of course.
And I look forward to getting started. So I want to start off with prayer and invite him into the space. Amen. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we have together today. I pray that you speak through us. I pray that it's not our words, but your words, Holy Spirit. I ask that you guide this conversation, keep it going as long as you want. I ask that people are blessed by this conversation, God. I pray there's breakthrough at the end of this. I pray your will is done, and you move in this space, this building, and through this podcast. I pray that you do what you want with it, and you get the glory from it, all of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Cool. So, dude, we were talking a bit about the premise today. And the vision that I have for this has to do with recruiting meetings. And when I was getting recruited to play college basketball, my top three, Georgetown, Duke, and Florida. I went on visits to Georgetown and to Florida. Mm-hmm. And each visit, we broke bread. We got to know one another over the table. And I am really passionate about coaching. I'm really passionate about discipleship. That's what I feel like coaching is. And especially within professional basketball, all ranks of basketball, there's a need for healthy conversations and healthy coaches. Because what Coach Comma is about, and I got this from a brother of mine, Brandon Knight. Shout out, B Knight. I would love to have you here one day. I believe I will. And he was saying how we're the comma to the period, and the period being Jesus.
Yeah.
And I want our role as Coach Comma, I want my role as a coach, as a leader, to be the comma in every single situation where God calls me to be, and set up the period the best way I can. Because I'm not the finisher, he's the finisher. He's the starter and the finisher. So the finisher of my faith. Biblically, so let's just get into getting to know one another, dude. We haven't really sat down much, and I think this is like our third time getting together aside from the courtyard at Boo. So, just tell me a bit about like where you're from. I know we talked about Rhode Island and all that stuff, and how cold it is. How was the transition getting down to Miami? Like the warm weather here, it's different,
so different. So I grew up in Massachusetts for my whole childhood. College came around. I was at Liberty University for 2 years, and then I transferred to a ministry school in Rhode Island called Awakening Leadership Center. And then I was there for 3 years, 2 years at the school, and then COVID hit, and I was just kind of living in Rhode Island for another year. And basically, I kind of got sick of COVID, and I was like, man, I'm going to Texas or Florida.
Yeah.
And then I had an opportunity to do an internship with VU.
Yeah.
So I jumped on that and just drove down here, 32 hours.
Wow.
That's a whole journey.
I don't know if I could be in a car that long.
It was rough. It was a long, long, long time. But did it all in like I said, like 32 hours.
Yeah.
And I've been here ever since. That was May 2021 when I got down here.
So, nice too.
Yeah.
Welcome to the city. So I've been traveling a whole lot for the past like three, four years, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Even longer. Just with playing ball at Georgetown in college, and then I went off to Moscow. I went off to South Dakota, and then most recently to New Zealand. It's a whole lot of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about it now, like I'm really happy to be planted in a place, to be in a situation consistently, because traveling is so fun. When it is for work, it can also be fun. I would love to travel for this, and I believe I will travel for this. At the same time, it's like, it's really nice to just be home, dude. And I remember growing up, and my dad was on the road a whole lot with work, played ball with the Heat. And it was, when he was in town, he was in town, you know, he was around, we kicked it. At the same time, I'm thinking about my journey as a pro athlete and how when I'm home, I haven't been a pro athlete with a family. I mean, wife and kids, yet, but mm-hmm. I feel like I just need time to decompress. And I didn't really want to make plans when I got back home. I just wanted things to flow. I just wanted to like just be.
Yeah.
You know. And I'm thinking about, I feel like the target audience, or one of the target audiences for this show, is our professional athletes, athletes of all levels. Mm-hmm. And I'm fortunate to have grown up in an arena, pun intended,
yeah,
in which I say I've been in the NBA longer than LeBron James, you know, because there's so many different facets to mm-hmm. to pro basketball. And the 450 in the NBA, it's not just the 450, it's the wives, the kids,
yeah.
the parents even. You know, you see a lot of players, their family members are sitting courtside, and once somebody gets elevated, everybody else around them gets elevated. And I feel like more people need to be made ready for that jump, because it happens, you know, and everybody, you're never really prepared for it.
Yeah.
At the same time, I feel like God is, with an identity in Christ, we're prepared for the season that we're going to be stepping into. Mm-hmm. And I think of Paul, like we were talking about Acts earlier, and I'm in Acts right now, and how the Apostle Paul, he went all over I don't think he ventured into Asia. I think the Holy Spirit stopped him from venturing into Asia. Might have gone in there later, but he spoke all these languages. Mm-hmm. He spoke so many different languages from all these places. And it was because he's been well traveled,
yeah,
as a Pharisee. And he was able to step into a different arena, carry those same tools, and bless other people, connect with other people, mm-hmm. you know, for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about some of the things that I've been blessed to do, in the sense of growing up speaking a bunch of languages and all that, which we'll get into later. Mm-hmm. It's just really nice to see how I'm called to communicate right now. And this is a way that, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people are going to be touched by this.
Yeah.
And I feel like my skills are going to be sharpened as this process goes on. So,
of course.
Yeah. When did you start getting into like podcasting? Because I feel like it's a pretty new trend.
Yeah. So I've been in the production space through schooling, through church, and yeah. various other things for over 10 years now. But the podcasting space is relatively new. I started my business, ZNG Productions, a little over 9 months ago at this point. Mm-hmm. It was June 2022 mm-hmm. When I started it. And I've kind of just found this niche of podcasting where clients just are looking to start up podcasts.
Yeah.
And because it's such an in-demand field,
yeah.
It's been pretty productive helping people to get their voice out there and share their story.
What do you think makes a successful podcast? As I take notes.
there's a lot of things that can go into it. But ultimately, it comes down to the host, in my opinion, and having that charisma, the personality, where people are just interested in what you got to say, having something that's worthwhile to put out into the world, and
yeah.
if people find it interesting, they'll listen, they'll tell their friends, and
yeah.
it'll grow, you know.
Yeah. It's a lot on my shoulders.
Yeah.
not really. A passage that I've been in lately is Exodus. Like God took me to Exodus mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago, and talking about the same skills that I'm carrying from one arena into the next, I was noticing in Exodus 4:2, what stuck out to me is that Moses didn't have to go anywhere in order to get what God was going to use to perform miracles mm-hmm. and do wonders. And he asks him, what is in your hand? And I think it's so powerful because Moses had a shepherd's staff in his hand. There's a bunch of significance to that, but mm-hmm. he also had a cloak, and he stuck his hand in the cloak and pulled it out and became leprous and put it back in, and you know, his hand was fine. And I'm thinking, like, when God sends us to go do something, we don't necessarily have to go get new material in order to take it forward and mm-hmm. make the message stick. We just mm-hmm. use, like, what we've been through.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been fortunate to go through a whole lot. Not all of it has been fun, specifically with my journey with coaches. Mm. This is, and I want to reiterate this, like, I pray that we always build people up on this show, and that building people up doesn't put Christian glitter on
yeah.
stuff,
yeah.
as Tim Ross talks about. And I want it to be transparent, because I feel like a lot of locker rooms that I've been in haven't always been transparent. And what I mean by that is, like, it's important to have honest conversation. And when building teams, it's really important to just to keep it a buck, you know,
yeah.
just like really, really have a group of guys who feels comfortable with one another, sharing things with one another, like, as a space of trust.
Of course.
I think that's a common theme. And, even myself in my walk, like when I first gave my life to Christ at 4 mm-hmm. and I didn't know what discipleship was. I had no idea, because my family was familiar with the tradition and the religion, but not necessarily the relationship. Mm-hmm. And I feel as if once I became an adult, I mean, I lived my life however I wanted to. I always said I was patient and kind, and I was a good person and mm-hmm. all of these things. But being a good person isn't, I mean, it's not enough. Our hearts are wicked, as it yeah. says in the Word. And I decided to put my hand to the plow. I went through like a really, really bad breakup. This was in 2020. Got back to Miami and I was like, boom, like, let me just hop into basketball and just forget about everything. Started hooping more, and I got an offer to play in Mexico. And I was like, let me go down to Mexico and just pour myself into the game.
Yeah.
Ended up getting COVID, and then the team canceled their season that same week because of the pandemic. So I was just like, I was shook. And then I started coming to VU and, you know, built great community. And then shortly after that, God brought me back to the game. And I went to USA basketball camp for 3-on-3, and I met a whole bunch of teammates, some from my past and some from it was just really cool how God worked.
Yeah.
One of my teammates, Rodney Pryor, who'll be on the show too. And after that, he took me to Sioux Falls, and it was really like a refining process. Just really, I forget where I was going exactly with this, but like, it was really, really just, it sucked.
Yeah.
It sucked. Like, I went in, I remember the second or third game of the season. I had 25 points, 25 and 9. And I shot 9 for 9 from the field. And I'm like, boom, like, I did all this work. Mm-hmm. Like, it's finally paying off. Like,
yeah.
Second year in the G League, like, things are going to turn around. And from there, it was just downhill. The rest of the season, like, I just didn't get consistent playing time. And just wasn't – I was chasing that perfection in the sense of, like, trying to play this perfect game again because I knew I could do it.
Yeah.
At the same time, like, I didn't make it about the process.
Yeah.
You know? And – why I'm so passionate about inviting Jesus into everyday spaces is one of my teammates, B. Knight, he asked me one day, I think I didn't play a game and I stayed after and got a bunch of shots up and I just come in dog tired. And he's like, yo, have you invited him into your workout routine? Have you invited him onto the court? And in my mind, I'm thinking like, well, I grew up around one of the best basketball players of all time and other greats, and I'd seen the Miami Heat organization from the inside out, and this is like, this, why do I need to invite him in? And it was my ego. And I honestly didn't know how, and I feel like it just starts with just saying like, I welcome you in, like, you believe in your heart and confess with your mind and you'll be saved.
Yeah.
And it works for every single space, bro. The heart is the most important because that's our salvation. That's the best decision we can make.
Yeah.
And from there, it goes into our work. It goes into our play. It goes into a myriad of situations. And I think about this question, not what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do if he were me?
Hmm.
And I think it's so powerful to apply it because Jesus wasn't a 6'9" black man living in Miami with a 7-foot wingspan. Like, just wasn't, you know. He could still work through me, and it says in the word that I will do greater things because of the spirit that lives in me. And this is paraphrasing, but like, I'm sure as we go on, I'll get more biblically literate and all that, but I feel like it's just so important, like, to just create spaces and realize that, like, yo, like, even the most mundane of situations can be invigorated by the Holy Spirit. And it's not necessarily for the show or the miracle. Let me not say the show, the miracle. It's for the presence and, like, who's there. And yeah. T.G. Jakes taught a sermon one time about how Jesus and his disciples were going over to the Gerasenes, I believe it's pronounced, where there was a demon-possessed man in the tombs. And on the way over, like, the storm happens and the boat starts flooding and Jesus is asleep in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And T.G. Jakes is teaching the fact that we may have Jesus in our lives and he may be present in the situation, but because he's not doing a work and calming the storm, we're like, yo, like, what's going on? Like, what are you doing? And I feel like it's such a beautiful reminder that, like, we have to remember the presence. And I was talking to my boy Joey not too long ago, and we were talking about worship. And something he brought up is that he's like, don't worship the feeling, worship the person.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel good. Like it's such a powerful reminder that we got to get our priorities straight. And that's something we talked about earlier. And then we talked about Acts. So I was saying earlier that I'm in Acts. And something in Acts that really stuck out, I think it was like chapter 19, I'll read it. We were talking about citizenship and belonging to a certain place. And I feel like Miami is such a culturally diverse place. And this applies to the city and so many other places. But specifically in Acts 19, Paul's in Ephesus and there's a riot. And this is in verse 23 in the NIV. About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, who had silver shrines of Artemis, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in a lot of business for the craftsmen there. He called them together along with the workers in related trades and said, "You know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia." So we did go to Asia. He says that gods made by human hands are no gods at all. There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited. And the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. When they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And I'm thinking about the gods that we've placed over Jesus in this city, and how even I'm proud to be from Miami. Like, I'm proud of the city and not necessarily everything we do. I'm just really happy to be from here. Like, anytime friends come to town, I really take pride in showing them around, and I want them to see the city the way I see it, because I've been blessed to see it in such a different way. I worked in hospitality here. I have lived in a lot of different communities, and I know there's some amazing people here. And it's been motivating to see people come down here and just want to party, and me be like, yo, I can show y'all something completely different.
Yeah, that's something I've noticed is, like, you know, like, in Miami, people are not like, I'm from Florida or I'm from South Florida. I'm from Miami.
It's like, I'm from Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I don't know if everybody's like that, but I'm definitely like, yo, I'm from here. I'm happy from here. Happy to be from here. And I feel like a lot of people just notice the superficial aspect. And it's so important to find a good community, because I remember when I first started coming to VU, I was low-key afraid of losing the friends that I had from my life before Christ, my life before recommitting my life to Christ. And some of those friends are still around. Some we just don't talk anymore. We just naturally grew apart.
Yeah.
And I remember being afraid of like my music taste changing, all of these things, bro. And it has. It has.
Inevitably.
Yeah, inevitably. And I'm thinking about change. And I was listening to something this morning. And it was talking about, it was Tim Ross's podcast. And he was talking about how change, a lot of people see change as bad. Is like scary, which it is. It's unknown, right?
Yeah.
At the same time, if we know who goes before us, we're more likely to make that change because we know that he's in it. And I feel like, dude, it's so important to have an identity rooted in Christ, because everything points to him. Dude, like everything points to him. I feel like we have an innate desire as human beings just to want to communicate with our Father. And we're all longing for something that we don't necessarily have words for. And his name is Jesus. And I feel like it's been so liberating for me to know that. And it's been a process. Like it's not a cakewalk. This is not easy. None of it is easy. And it's worth it.
Yeah.
And it's been so valuable getting in the habit of saying, and like, it's just freeing, dude. It's freeing. I'm taking this course on Tome, and Tim Ross is teaching it and talking about mental health and as it pertains to the Bible. Michelle Williams is on it too. And dude, the word "and" is so liberating, because our body keeps score. And Pastor Rich, I think, preached a sermon a while back, and he was talking about how the secular world, people not in the church, right, notice something's off in the church usually before people in the church do. In the sense of, like, they may not be able to dance, they may not know Christianese or how to navigate the word, but like, if something is out of pitch, out of tune, like, you may not be able to put your finger on it, but like, there's something off there, something weird about it. And I've noticed that, like, I think VU does such a good job of, and let me preface this, like, I've been hurt there. I've been church hurt at VU. And the message isn't people, it's Jesus. And it's like, well, and this hasn't always been the case for me. Like, I feel like I'm in a season now. Like, if somebody punches me in my face, like, whether it be physically or emotionally.
Sure.
I am, this example is emotionally. So I'm not falling back as far, because he's right behind me. And I know that he's got my back.
That's good.
Where in past seasons, it's been like, it's such a far fall when somebody hurts my ego or says something that I completely disagree with. It's like, I have a grandma who's a Jehovah's Witness, and our doctrines are completely different, and we disagree about a lot of things.
Yeah.
And we were at the dinner table the other night, and she was saying, we were talking about verses. I think we were in Psalms or something like that. And she says something, I say something that she disagrees with, and I was okay with it. I wasn't like, oh, you got to believe every single thing I believe. Cause like, I don't agree with Pastor Rich 100% of the time. I don't. I know that he's led by the Spirit of God, and I trust his leadership.
Yeah.
And I feel as if it's important to just be honest and have an honest dialogue within our church settings. Within life. Like, not even like, it's just church aside, just life, bro. Because like, this is like the most honest book in the world. And it goes for like any teacher of the word. Like, I love how Jesus answered questions Like Jesus took questions and answered questions.
Yep.
And I think this is such a powerful space in which we can like actually have these hard questions and invite him in the space and like, and he answers them in his time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not meant for us to get every single answer. Like I can ask how it is to be a father or how to be a husband right now and see examples in my life and be like, wow, like that's super cool. At the same time, I won't know it till I get there.
Yep.
And I feel like it's so much better with him here. And I just want to help other people see that.
Yeah.
Specifically in the ponds that I'm called to fish mm-hmm. in. So.
Yeah. Circling back, tell me what you meant about the power of and.
What I mean by the power of and, like, life is complex and stuff can stack on top of one another.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God can be good and I could be having a terrible day.
Hmm.
Like, Job had a terrible day, like, had a lot of terrible days.
A lot of terrible
what
days.
What he went through sucked, and God is good and God is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things are true. And regardless of what we're feeling, we can point to the consistency. I think, like, dude, it's so important. In 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about the descriptions of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. All of these descriptors of love.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are our feelings. They're choice-based.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been in relationships in the past where I don't understand. I wasn't on the same page about what love is.
Mm-hmm.
And just so many different things, we weren't on the same page. And I feel like it's important to, like, if you love somebody, well, like, what does love actually do?
Yeah.
What is the choice every single day?
Yeah.
Jesus was 100% man, and he was 100% God.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose every single time to love. And there was no question.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think it's such a powerful, like, example when he's in the garden of Gethsemane and he prays the same prayer three times and he's troubled to the point of death. He's sweating blood.
Yeah.
It's intense.
Yeah.
And at the end of every prayer, he's like, your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Cause he's consistent. Cause like God is consistent. He's like, I don't want to do this, but if you want me to do it, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you pray that prayer again and again and again, if this is my cup to bear, I'll drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he only did what his father called him to do and went where his father called him to go to and all these things. And I feel like this podcast even is like stepping out on a limb. It's uncomfortable in some ways, but being in the moment, like it's comfortable now. It's something that we'll get better at. It's something that, I don't know, just kind of feels natural.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a friction in the commonplace. And I was in a season like not too long ago where before I had decided to start this podcast, I was making all the excuses as to why not.
Yeah.
But like when I first got back to Miami, this is maybe 2 years ago now from my first season playing pro in Sioux Falls.
Mm-hmm.
I started a podcast on my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I started on my phone and like I recorded the first episode in a hotel room and like I'm sure the audio was crappy and just all this stuff. And then it gradually went along and like I bought a microphone and all these things. I started mm-hmm. recording audio and editing audio and putting in tracks and all this stuff. And I'm sure these are skills that the Lord will allow me to use later in life. And dude, it's like I did it then, had no problem doing it, but like I got bougie and it was like, I want, and Lil Wayne has this song. I think it's a Drake song. It's like, oh, I need a beat. I need a producer. It's like, what are you doing? Like, just get in the studio with like clips and ammo. And that's what I feel like I'm doing. Like, just getting in the studio, just getting the reps up. And I feel like once if we're in the room, we just got to show up, you know, mm-hmm. just like, I don't know where we're going, God, but like, call me, like, let's go. I'll show up. Something special happens when I show up, but like when I stay home, it's different.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's important to talk about rest because I feel like we're segueing into that. And this is something that like both of us we've been talking about lately.
Yeah.
Because like it's, I want to great way to explain this, God. It's important to not see rest in the way the world does.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world almost thinks of it as a bad thing. I think about Kobe right now, right? And like, I remember when I was younger, dude, watching this video, and Kobe was talking about how he trains and how he trains 4 times a day,
mm-hmm.
and he'll sleep like for 4 hour increments in between each of those times.
Yeah.
It was like wild.
Yeah.
And I tried to do it and I got sick. It's like, well, part of my ego wants to say now, like, maybe I could have done it differently and going about it. But like I think about my own father, right? So like, my dad had maybe 10 or 12, 10 surgeries in total. Several on his knees, and you know, he pushed himself to the limit, you know, and I'm grateful for him having done that to support our family. And I want to go about my career in a different way in terms of eating healthier foods and using the right products to take care of my body and prolong my health and all these things, because dude, like, this is the only body we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed this myself. Even like last time I was playing professionally was in August. I was in New Zealand, got back, and I was still training, still in the flow of things. And it's so easy to get out of the habit of stewarding our bodies in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was in the environment where like I worked out for a living, and I still do to a certain extent. And it was just so easy, because I just had to show up. So you just show up and get the reps.
Yeah.
And like, I heard this word preached in New Zealand, bro. Shout out to Ruby Heslop in New Zealand at Annisbrook Church. And she was talking about the story in Genesis, Adam and Eve, and how Eve was deceived, and Eve was deceived because she didn't get the revelation directly from God. Mm. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she heard it through Adam, because Adam heard it from God. Adam was put to sleep. Eve was taken out of Adam. And then the serpent, you know, came onto the scene. And dude, I think it's like, it's such a good reminder that like, we need to get our own revelations. Like, there needs to be no middleman between us and the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a powerful reminder. Like, I want to get this tattooed, I think. It's like the torn curtain.
Mm.
It's such a powerful image, bro. Like, there's nothing in the way anymore between us and him. Nothing.
Yeah.
And it's I think it's just such a beautiful reminder.
Yeah, you can't piggyback off of someone else's faith.
Exactly, bro. Yeah. Yeah. You can't, like, and that's what led me to recommitting my life to Christ, because it was like, it's like, well, I've heard all of these things, and I actually want to be sure of it. Like, I want to hear in the Word. And I've heard like the Bible quoted so many different times, and I've done this myself. I would talk about being equally yoked to somebody and completely pervert it and not really understand like what it truly means to be equally yoked, what it truly means to abide, right? What it truly means to be a disciple of Christ, like the things that we have to give up. Like, it talks about the cost of giving these things up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's such, it's so important that like we hear from the source. It doesn't mean that we're meant to do it alone, because like, it's not good for man to be alone. And that's why it's so important to like do life in community.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're doing life in community, like, what does our walk look like the other 6 days of the week? Like, how are we seeking his face? How are we seeking first the kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to a young man at a restaurant I go to, and we were talking about order. And he asked me to pray for him for order specifically. And we were walking out the restaurant, some friends and I, and we're thinking about, like, well, like, order. And then the verse... in the gospel, seek first the kingdom, live righteously, and all of these things will be given to you, comes to mind.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about, like, it was a Sunday specifically, and he was working like really a lot on the Sunday. And I'm like, dang, like, that's it right there. Like, order.
Yeah.
It's like, our order has to be like, what are we doing the days that we can seek him? Like, on our off days, like, how are we, how are we seeking his face when we have the time to?
Yeah. Related to that. There's the verse where it's like, a man plans his way, but the Lord orders his steps. Yeah.
Amen. It was like, I think it was on the Bible app today. I saw it and it was talking about how, like, who can really know the way we're going, mm-hmm. you know? And I think about Proverbs 3:5-6, acknowledge the Lord, lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge the Lord. I'm butchering this right now.
In all your ways, acknowledge him.
In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Mm-hmm. And I just think, like, he makes it so simple. And it's not easy, but I feel like it's simple. Like, correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like it's pretty simple. Like, his yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that. And it doesn't mean that, like, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but our burden with him is so much lighter than, like, the world's, dude, the expectations mm-hmm. of the world, like thinking about what other people will think and just all of that, man. It's a blessing.
Yeah.
It's a blessing. Yeah. I also think about, I was going to say something earlier about being in Sioux Falls, and I remember having conversations with my teammates in the locker room. They asked me this one question, and they were like, do you still think about cussing? And I was like, no, I don't. And they're like, oh, that's BS and da 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 da. I thought about it, like, yeah, like, it is. It is. Like, just the teammate I want to be now on going forward is like, yo, like, this is what I'm going through. Like, this is real.
Yeah.
This stuff sucks. And my prayer life, let's say about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I was praying this prayer and I just didn't have the words to fully express what I was feeling. So I was cussing. I was honestly like, God, like, this effing sucks and da 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 da, like, I feel like ish and just all these things. And like, yes, I repent. And I also recognize that, like, that's where I was at that time.
Yeah.
That's the way I was able to communicate these feelings. And a prayer that I prayed right after that, I was like, God, like, if you want me to use other words, and I know you do, give me those other words. And in times past, I would have just have that outburst and like, all right, I'll be cool for a little while. And I grew up in a house where, like, my Nana, she cussed all the time. My mom's mom, she passed away a couple of years ago. And dude, mouth like a sailor. She's been through a whole lot. And it's, you know, I'll talk about her story later. But dude, it's like, it's so important to admit where we are. And I use this example, like, let's say you got your phone on you.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if the camera will catch this, but we'll try.
Stack it or what?
No, I got it right here. Let me see it. So, like, let's say, use the Bible for example. I like this. So this is Jesus, right? The Word. And this is me. And I tell him that I'm right here. There's so much distance left over because I'm actually not there. He can't get me. He can't. He can do anything. At the same time, it's so much more powerful to admit where I am right here. Like, this isn't me. This is me. I'm broken and shattered. And meet me where I am, please.
Yeah.
And then together we'll go to where he has me go.
Yeah.
What he has for me. And I feel like more people need to hear that message too, because it's really what's changed my life and my prayer life specifically. Because, like, dude, I'm praying about what I'm going through, and I'm inviting him into real spaces. And it's like, yo, like, in this city, it's tough. It's tough to abstain. It's tough to remain pure in this city. And the great thing is, he always gives us a way out. And it says that scripturally. So, like, just admitting where we are, that door, I heard a teacher talk about this, or it was a buddy of mine, like, talking about how if we're walking down this hallway and we notice that, like, oh, shoot, like, we went down the wrong path, we went down the wrong hallway, he always gives us a way out. It may be the door next to us, or it may be the door down the hallway. We may need to take some steps forward.
When you're talking about how you were praying and you were just letting the swears fly.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, there's a song called, it's called A Prayer by King's Kaleidoscope. It's actually a really powerful song, and it's a Christian band, and but they got a lot of flack for it because the guy literally drops the F-bomb in it.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's because he pulled the song from his prayer journal. And it's where he was in the moment. And obviously, like, they could have censored it. They could have said other words, like crafting the song and releasing it. But he was like, no, this is real. This is from my prayer journal, and we're going to release it as it happened.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I said, they caught a lot of flack for it because, you know, Christian band and literally dropping the F-bomb in an album and everything.
Yeah.
But it's so powerful because, like, the whole first half of the song, he's talking about how he was in such this dark place, and then you think the song is ended, but then there's just this huge crescendo.
That's awesome.
And the next half of the song is basically the word that he got from Jesus. Yeah, so it kind of trails off where he's saying, like, Jesus, where are you? Jesus, where are you? It trails off, and there's this huge crescendo, and he's like, I'm right here. I'm right beside you. I feel what you feel. Like, when death is too real, like, a lot of beautiful language. Wow. And it's like, because I love you. And it's like what you're saying, like, God's right there. His presence is always there. We just have to reach out, you know?
That's good, bro. And I was listening to this T.G. Jakes sermon today. It was the one I was talking to you about. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about praying in the Spirit, mm-hmm. and how the Spirit knows what the body and soul don't necessarily know how to articulate.
Mm-hmm.
And praying the Spirit prays in God's will.
Yeah.
And it's also important, like Paul says, like, to pray in the Spirit and in understanding.
Yeah.
And to ask for that understanding, like, Lord, what am I saying? And it also says that he hears us in our moans and our groans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so powerful. Like, even if we don't have the words to say, like, he hears us. He's interceding on our behalf. Mm-hmm. And it's so comforting.
That scream into the pillow is a prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a prayer, bro. Like, it talks about, and I think it was his preach at VU as well, talking about praying continuously.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, even in our breath, we're praising him. Even in our breath, we're praying to him. Because this doesn't substitute, like, you know, time in the quiet place. But, like, if we're meant to pray continually, like, sometimes we stop talking. Mm-hmm. Like, may the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. Same way it says in Psalms, mm-hmm. Psalms 1. Like, it's a constant thing. It's like what we think about. Whatever is good, whatever is pleasing, think about those things.
Yeah.
Whatever is praiseworthy, think about those things. Yeah, so. There's another song called Why by Elevation Worship.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lyrics is, and when I make my bed in hell, you love me. When I don't even love myself, you love me. And I'm like, dang, like, that's real. That's real. That song has, like, some very, very real lyrics.
Yeah.
And I want music to be a part of this too. I feel like in terms of curating playlists and audio, and, like, people need to hear these songs too, because it's like, I want people to realize that, like, Christian music can be fire.
Mm-hmm.
There's some out there that isn't great and can be cheesy and corny.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's some that's really fire and mm-hmm. gets to the nitty gritty of, like, yo, this is what I'm feeling. Like, this is what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun. It's not easy. And I could still choose to speak this way.
Yeah.
I feel like you can feel it in the music too. Where it's like, I mean, granted, I don't know what each artist individually is going through. Like, mm-hmm. if the Lord calls me to make music, like, I hope that it comes off as transparent, honest, and open about like, yo, this is where I'm at. These are my prayers right now. This is what my prayer life looks like right now. This is what I'm talking about. And this is how he's meeting me in these places. These are the promises that I'm leaning on in this season. And I feel like it's so important to continue to lean on his promises. And I love the fact And we talked about this earlier, 1 Corinthians 13, like it's a choice.
Yeah.
Bro, and like he chooses every single time. And like I heard this teaching by this preacher in he was in Africa. I don't know where in Africa specifically, but he was talking about how like it's important to pray the promises of God over our life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to another teaching. I think it was in a book. And I think there's going to be a lot of book recommendations on the show too. It was the Mark Batterson's Draw the Circle. And shout out Alex for giving me that book. I've got it for several people since then, so thank you. And it was talking about praying the promises of God. And Miles Monroe preached a sermon too. Miles Monroe's fire. And rest in peace, Miles Monroe. And he talks about the power of prayer and how God's word can never return void.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about how, like, the reason we don't hear God speaking so much is because, like, he can't go back on his word. So, like, if he's speaking new things every single time,
yeah,
it's like he wouldn't be able to do. I mean, he would be able to do it, but like,
gets dicey.
You know, it gets dicey. You know, mm-hmm. That's why we can never be God. So it's like, mm-hmm. think about the movie Bruce Almighty when he gets like all those prayer requests, and he's like,
yeah.
it's like. And answer yes to all, you know? And there's a reason behind it, bro. There's a reason why things happen. And, but we can trust Romans 8:28, and all things God works for the good of those who love him, mm-hmm. those who are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
And, I think that is, that's a good place to end it, bro. That's a good place to end episode one. So thank you for your time. Thank you for showing up, dude. And I pray this episode blesses a lot of people.
Amen.
Amen.
Sweet.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Of course.